We're in John's Gospel and we've got to John 6, verses 16 to 24. So, you can turn to that if you have a Bible. I'm going to read it out. It says this. When evening came, his disciples, that's Jesus' disciples, went down to the lake. When they got into a boat and they set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark. Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered into it with his disciples, but they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias, landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. You know, we need to focus on the communities that we live in. But there are occasions when the Spirit needs to deal with stuff in here to enable us to be that light and salt within the community. And I feel that perhaps this is one of these mornings this morning. One of Mick's three excellent points last week on the feeding of the 5,000. I didn't plan that you had that, Mick, and I'm a week later. Because I thought it was excellent what you brought out. Was that, are we being put to the test? Because one of the aspects of the feeding of the 5,000 was that the disciples were not in a testing time, they were in a learning time. They were in a situation where actually they were growing in Jesus. And that is a challenge to us. In times of testing, are we trusting? Are we learning? Are we growing with Jesus? And Mick finished with this thought last week, and I think his last slide was a beautiful boat in the sunset. And his thought was this. Maybe the disciples were thinking after this, they were just going to sail quietly into the sunset. Have a bit of peace and quiet. That was great what you did today, Jesus. But that's enough learning and enough growing for one day. We'd like a bit of chill, a bit of downtime. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? We all like a bit of chill, a bit of downtime. But unfortunately, life's not like that, is it? Because firstly, with Jesus, we should always be in a relationship where we are learning and we are growing. That's part of our relationship with him. But secondly, we live in a world, our lives are like a time of testing. It seems we're always being tested. Our lives are always full of storms. It was great, the song choice this morning, Wendy. It ties in very much with what I want to share. So this morning I want to look at our relationship in Jesus through the trials of life. Who hasn't had a trial of life? No, good. If someone had stuck their hand up, we would have all prayed for them for the realization of where they actually are. Because we all do. Because life is a storm. The disciples had just seen the kingdom of God move in a powerful way in the feeding of the 5,000. Now, a short time later, the disciples are on a boat heading across the Sea of Galilee, heading towards Capernaum. Now, I don't know this. I didn't take this, by the way. I haven't been over there. And I don't know if you had a shot like that, Mick. Perhaps you went up in a hot air balloon or something like that. Anyway, that's the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is 650 feet below sea level, and it's 150 feet deep. I know that because I read it, and I trust that that was accurate in what I read. But because of that physical nature of it being 650 feet below sea level and 150 feet deep, there are winds that come across it that whip up extremely high and strong waves. Even though really, they call it sea gully, it's like a huge lake. But because of those practical dynamics of nature, they get extremely rough weather on it. So here we are. The disciples are in one of these storms. Just when they thought they were going for peace and quiet, here they are. They were out 3 to 3.5 hours, so I guess they were a fair way out. And I would imagine they were having a bit of a rough time. If you're in a rough sea, my wife has a rough time in a calm sea. So you can imagine what she'd be like in a rough sea. And yet, what we read was, they weren't crying out for Jesus, were they? They weren't in fear, but I would suspect, having been a seasoned paddle boat user on down in the parks in London, that when it gets rough and when it gets tough, it can actually be quite a struggle. If you're in a sea that's got high waves and you're rowing for that amount of time, it can be tough. So this story this morning is of Jesus coming at a rough time in a miraculous way. And he's coming up alongside the disciples. But equally, this morning, this story is for us. Because in our boat, in our life, Jesus comes alongside and he gives us peace. And he gives us that quietness in the midst of storms. And he's teaching us that wherever we are, just like the disciples, wherever they were in the middle of this sea, that Jesus is with us all the time. Now, it's interesting, the setting, is it? Because we read it's at night. It was darkness. Well, some of the symbols in the Bible that relate to darkness are evil, ignorance, trouble, and sorrow. And then they were on a sea that was rough and had large waves. And again, in the Bible, that can be associated with chaos, disorder, and the tribulations of life. So it's not surprising at the beginning of this account that actually this isn't about the physical elements. This isn't about the physical storm. This is actually about the demonstration of Jesus' presence with us in the storms of life, be it physical or spiritual, and the deliverance of his people in those storms of life. So I got to thinking, yeah, that didn't take me long. But I was wondering, well, what about the disciples? And I thought, well, how like all of us, and perhaps I'm speaking for myself, but I know I am speaking, how much I am like they are. And what do I mean by that? Because really, in all that they'd seen, I just thought, how short their memories. And really in that, how weak their faith. They just witnessed this miraculous display of Jesus' supernatural power, the divine power in multiplying just a few handfuls of bread and fish. And yet a few hours later, they find themselves on this lake. The waves are rough. They're probably feeling weary from rowing hour after hour. They say the time was between 3 and 6 in the morning, so they've been rowing a long while. But as I said, there's no suggestion that they were in fear. They were just weary. They were just weary from pulling on those oars in an opposing wind. There was that real sense of them struggling. And yet, they didn't call for Jesus, did they? There's no mention of them shouting out, Jesus, come and help us. In fact, as we read, Jesus was the last person they expected to see because he actually frightened them when he turned up. But can't that be said of us all? The storms of life. Storms will always come. You're either in a storm now, you're just coming out of a storm, or you may well be in the eye of the storm, where actually it feels all peaceful at the moment, but actually you're not seeing what's around you. We all experience rough times. We all experience trials and storms. And some of that, to be honest, can be just because it's been our disobedience. But it can also be the misdeeds of others that affect us. I read that most human interconnection is just 2 or 3 degrees of separation. So it means all our actions and all our decisions affect one another, either for the good or for the bad. It's the world that we live in. So storms, crises, circumstances are very real and sometimes can be very large and can take the whole of our focus. They overcome us and they weary us. And yes, if we're being honest, Jesus sometimes is the last person we think about in those storms, in those circumstances, in those crisis times. We may take our eyes off of him, but he never, ever, ever, ever takes his eyes off of us. And you know, the encouragement from this story is that Jesus knew the disciples would need him before they knew themselves. And it says all the gospel writers said they were all terrified by his sight. Because Jesus comes to them. He knows they're going to need him. I love the way the message puts this. It says they were scared senseless. And you think, wow, you know, here were these guys who were just with Jesus just a matter of hours ago. And now they're scared senseless. In fact, they've missed him. And I was thinking, these guys had just seen the miraculous outpouring of the kingdom through bread and wine. But they'd seen it before. They'd seen water turned into wine. They'd seen people healed. They'd seen lepers cleansed. And I was thinking, well, if I'd been one of those disciples, I'm sure I would have been up on the bow shouting, look, there's the Lord. I wonder what he's going to do next. And then I got back down to earth. And I thought, well, actually, if I'm being honest, I have reacted the same way as the disciples. I say that because our reaction comes out of our experience and our memory of what Jesus has done for us and what he has shown us of himself. You know, if our memory, if our relationship, if our identity in Jesus is poor, then in the midst of life's storms, we will not recognize him. And we have to recognize him before we can trust him. And yet time and time again, we find ourselves rowing and going nowhere. Who's experienced that? You know, we worry about the winds and the waves because we've completely forgotten about his provision. What does he say about us? Well, he says this, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but for. Oh, no, it doesn't. It stops there. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. You see a theme forming here? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Often in life, there are times of darkness. There are times of trials. There are times when it feels there's the storm of life battering at us. And the longer we make no progress against this wind of circumstance that blows against us, the more we despair of help. And this is despite how wonderful Jesus has been in our life. We quickly forget the consistent answers of prayer that he's brought to us. And yes, he's made us wait at times, but he always comes to us. He always comes in time. But the problem is, in our circumstances, we don't recognize Jesus for whom he is and for the help that he eventually brings to us. And it's not until later that we realize just how much Jesus has been with us. How he's helped us, how he's changed that circumstance, how his work of his hand has been unrecognized until maybe we come out of that storm. Because he will always point us in the right way. So I had another thought, so I think this is good, Richard, you've had 2 thoughts now. So I was thinking about disciples, but then I thought, well, what about Jesus? What about Jesus? And I thought, well, what about in the regards to the way that he helped the disciples? Because the way he worked with them and helped them, the way that he works with all his disciples. And what do I mean by that? Well, see how he seemed to leave them to their own devices. You know, they were rowing for three and a half hours. Rowing against the opposing wind until late into the night. They were alone. You know, isn't that some of the complaint within Psalms about God? Over and over again, the Psalms say, why do you hide yourself? Take Psalm 10. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? And I can guarantee he's still going by verse 11. Because by verse 11 he's still saying, he says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Perhaps that's how you feel this morning. God's hiding his face from me. I've been pleading for help, but he's not come. He's not answered. He's not shown himself. How often has that been a state that we've been in? Late into the night, they rowed, and they got nowhere. So it seems. And Jesus can't be found. But actually, isn't that often the way with Jesus? Isn't that the way he expresses himself to his disciples? He makes us wait. We don't like waiting, do we? Everything's instant. This world's instant. Everything should have been yesterday. But he makes us wait. But you know, when you look at Jesus and the way he is with people, you think, well, why didn't he go to Lazarus? Why did he was late. He died. Why didn't he go earlier? He should have gone earlier. That would have been he should have been there. He should have been there before. But that's not the way Jesus did it. Remember the parable of the unjust judge and the widow. She had to persevere. She had to pester unmercifully until the judge relented and heard her cry. And Jesus often doesn't rush to our sides. He makes us wait for him. Because he wants relationship. He wants us to grow in trust, in faith. But then suddenly, just as with these disciples on the Sea of Galilee, he's there and he arrives. And when he comes, the wind and the seas are calmed. Jesus isn't doing it to spite us. He's doing it so we grow in a relationship with him. He knows the best time to come to us. So I just want to look at, using the analogy of a boat as our lives and the storms as our troubled situations and circumstances, I just want to give you three don'ts. Three don'ts. Three not to do in a storm and a crisis. Okay, are you ready? Now, who gets seasick? Okay. You have permission to look at these pictures quickly and close your eyes and listen to me, okay? Because I got seasick looking at it. So the first thing is, don't drift. Imagine being in that boat there. Huh? You wouldn't believe that's chase water, would you? Don't drift. The first thing a storm, a crisis, a situation in our life can do is cause us to drift. What do I mean by that? Well, it overtakes us. So we let go of our goals. We forget where we're heading. We forget our values and we start drifting. We get completely obscured by the storm, the circumstance that's around us. There's waves beating us back and forward in our emotions. And we're led wherever our emotions and our feelings take us. And yet Hebrews says that's not the thing to do. It says we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. So we need to hear the voice of the Spirit. We need to know what his word says. because we hold to this truth. And as we've sung, he becomes the anchor in our lives. So, first, don't drift. Secondly, there is a boat there. Can you just see it? Yeah. Don't discard. So first, we can drift in a storm, in a crisis. Secondly, we can start discarding things. What do I mean by that? Well, often in a storm, in a crisis, in a circumstance, we start getting rid of the things that are important to us. We start panicking. We start throwing things overboard. We feel under pressure. We want to get rid of all this stuff because it must be this stuff that's causing this circumstance, this storm. So we become impulsive. Dreams go overboard. Don't need a dream now. I'm in a crisis. I've got a crisis to deal with. I don't need a dream. We run out on relationships. Can't cope with a relationship. Relationships are lasting. That's more pressure. I need to be dealing with this storm. I need to be dealing with this circumstance. We throw away values, truths, whether we've learned them in childhood or as a Christian. And worse, we throw Jesus out. And then we throw the family, that's you and me, that he's placed us in. They all get chucked out. You know, I've been a Christian nearly 30 years. And we've been in numerous churches. I don't think that's because there's anything wrong with us. I think that's because God's moved us. I hope that's the case. But you know, I can guarantee you one trait that I see within the family. As soon as there's a crisis, as soon as there's a circumstance, as soon as there's a storm in some people's lives, the first thing they'll do is disappear. You won't see them around. You'll maybe find out a week, a two, a month later. They may come back. You might not see them again, actually. If I were, where are you? Oh, I'm in a crisis. I'm in a storm. I need to deal with this. You know, when we do that, that's running the wrong way. We're heading the wrong way. Because why? Because it leaves us isolated. It leaves us alone. It leaves us just in the place where Satan wants you to be. Isolation isn't the answer. Jesus is the answer. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He loves you. Neither is isolation the answer away from our family. Being part of God's family, being part of Rugeley Community Church, isn't about independence, it's about interdependence. We rely on one another. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Actually, when we become interdependent, we become stronger, both individually and as family, together. So instead of discarding Jesus and family and those values and those truths of his, we need to hold on to them. This is what the Bible says about us. This is what his word, his breathed word says. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord is good. A refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust him. Do you think there's a bit of a pattern forming there? Surely our Lord, our King, our Maker knows what's best for us. And then finally, the third don't in a storm or a crisis is don't despair. You know, in extreme storms and crisis, we eventually get to a point when we're in despair. And the last thing that we throw out is hope. Hope goes. Perhaps you feel like that now. Perhaps you're going through a situation where you just feel battered. Back and forth. And actually, you realize some of that hope has gone because of the battering you've taken. And when we give up hope, we forget God is in control. We lose sight of him. We forget God has a plan we forget God can inject hope into the most hopeless of situations. Maybe you're at a point of despair. Then however bad that may seem, you need to stop. You need to drop anchor in your emotions and your feelings. And I know that's hard, but I encourage you, just stop. You need to rest. You need to talk out your discouragement with a trusted friend. That's why we have family. Not that we gossip, but actually that we're here for one another. And in the midst of that circumstance, you need a foundation of hope. And Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the foundation. His love can hold you in the midst of a storm. His wisdom can guide you through it, and his strength can steady you as you move forward. Despair need not overtake you. I encourage you, open the door of your despair and invite Jesus into it. Ask him to walk with you. Don't try to live independently of him. He's inviting you to share the journey with him. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Don't listen to your emotion or your feeling. Wait upon the truth of what God says in his word to us. Then I had a third thought. It was a pretty busy day for me, I can tell you. It is interesting. Jesus could have simply have calmed the sea from where he stood on the shore. He didn't need to go out to them, did he? No. But what he wanted to do by that action was actually he wanted to strengthen their faith. He wanted them to remember in the years to come, in the days after he'd ascended to heaven, and that they would see him no more, that he would be present with them wherever they were. Whatever circumstance, whatever situation, Jesus always is there with us. And I guess, how often do you suppose the disciples thought back to that night when Jesus walked out to them and calmed the storm on that Sea of Galilee? Because in years to come, they would face various trials and circumstances and storms, and yet they would have known, just as Jesus was with them on that night, he was with them through all their circumstances. How many of us have been battered by the storms of sickness and disaster, and yet have found Jesus coming to our rescue and lifting us up? And maybe not always through healing, but if not through that, then by granting us peace and joy within our souls. Sometimes God calms the storm, but sometimes he lets the storm rage and he calms his child. Whatever he does for the best for us. So let's just finish in verse 21. Then they were willing to take him into the boat. Oh, good of them, wasn't it? And immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Here come thought number four now. This was a full day. Yet so many people know Jesus is there, just outside their boat, their life. Yet they won't let him get in. And he wants to get in. And he doesn't want to get in for his sake. He wants to get in for your sake, because he knows you that well. Jesus is the captain of our boat. We are just the first mates. Ahoy. That's as far as I'm going to go. When we allow him, he'll get into our boat. He'll get into our life. But it's not enough just to let him in. We've got to let him be the captain of our life. We got to let him steer. Let him take command. We no longer insist on being the captain. We become the deckhand. Giving up control is where it's at. He knows where we're going.
Excuse me.
No storm with Jesus at the helm of our boat is ever going to put us off course. These disciples arrived just where they needed to be. And the Christian life isn't about a daily destination. It's about a life journey with him. And he'll direct us wherever we need to go. The disciples hadn't just arrived at the shore, at their final destination, because there were still destinations and places that Jesus wanted to take them. And we need Jesus to guide us. He'll take us places we wouldn't steer. That's exciting, isn't it? Isn't it, Aditya? Yeah, it is. You know, you're being faithful to God, though. You know, what he takes you through in these weeks, you'll look back on in years to come and think, we would never be in this place if we hadn't let him steer us at this time. And Jesus won't steer you into the storm. That's not right. That's not what his heart is. But with Jesus steering our life, even when he doesn't calm the storm, he'll maneuver us within the storm so much better than we can. And some of you are sitting us today and we're feeling our circumstance is like we're in the middle of a raging storm. And we're struggling and we're weary and it feels like we've rowed all night and we've got to nowhere. But you need to see that Jesus is with you. Let him in your boat. He's saying, it is I, don't be afraid. And once he's there, all the rowing, all the waves, all the weariness, all the fear is forgotten because our focus is on the one who saved us. And the Holy Spirit is actually prompting some of us to recognize that we actually, maybe we've got an attitude of, yes, Jesus is in my boat, but mate, I'm the captain. I know where I'm going. I need to be in control of my boat, my life. It's more like Jesus is your first mate. Well, that's you, but some of us, we need to start following his orders. He knows what's best for us. We need to say yes to whatever he says to us and whatever he calls us to do. Because not only does Jesus calm the physical storms of our life and circumstances, but he also calms the seas within our minds and our souls. The question is, do we have faith to trust him? So Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, I thank you, God, that you've been speaking to us this morning. Lord, I just pray you continue to do that now. Lord, minister to our hearts in whatever way you wish, I ask in Jesus' name. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play a song. I know, I'm going to put one last slide up first because I like this. When we have nothing left but God, we discover that God is enough. That's where some of us need to be today. We need to know that God is always with us. And I'm just going to play a song, and I want you to just let the Holy Spirit speak to you as it plays, okay? I'll put the words up if that helps, but really just let the Holy Spirit speak to you about where you are in your life.